The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Both of these men personified Jewish ideals and values and were deeply committed to their families. They will be deeply missed by their spouses, children, and grandchildren, and by the global Jewish community.
The world is mourning with the folks in Jerusalem over what happened just the other day. That was Rabbi Rockhoff talking about the American men and actually everybody who found themselves at prayers when two Palestinian men burst into the synagogue and decided to change a whole bunch of laws. Hey, everybody. Hey, Delaney America tonight. We start with a follow-up to that. It's deafening, the silence that has come from that little corner of the world. And when I say the silence, I think the shock of it all has really gotten to the people in Israel, and who can blame them for that? There have been lots of problems there on the West Bank and high tension, hard feelings, and violence that has erupted. But think of a prayer service, maybe one that you've gone to. Imagine what that means to you. And you see somebody with a butcher's cleaver running at you, an axe, and whatever weapon they could grab, jumping into the various positions in the synagogue and trying to grab you. And that's exactly what it was like for anybody who happened to be in that synagogue. Absolutely horrific pictures coming out of there. I think the biggest impact is the fact that you had bloodied robes and prayer books to give you the sense of just how awful this attack was, how senseless and how surprised everybody involved was. As it has been described a lot of times, just bodies that were there in the sanctuary, and the rabbis were all there bestowing blessings upon the land about the problems with that area of the West Bank and Jerusalem and the tensions, and that's what they were doing. That was the intention of the prayers, but they were interrupted by the two Palestinian guys with the weapons, knives and a gun, and an Israeli police officer, and the four rabbis, by the way, were all killed. And combined with the sight of that, a synagogue in West Jerusalem, the target of rabbis, really struck at the heart of so many Jewish people around the world, not just there, of course. And I can't emphasize enough how awful this assault. The Palestinian Authority President Abbas condemned the attack. Hamas and other Palestinians praised it, identifying by the police the two who were cousins from East Jerusalem. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, vowed to respond with a heavy hand to the killings. They're still looking for what may be some other people who were involved in the attack. They're telling people to stay indoors when they can and not to come out. So they have now opened the synagogue, as I'm told, in the sanctuary, but as they have done the investigation. But just how awful this is. And in the United States, in our great country, of course, we feel that terror attack, as we do with so many of them. But the fact that you had those Americans involved definitely took that toll, I think, on a lot of people. You think of ministers, you think of priests pastors and whatnot, and rabbis and their role in a synagogue, a church, a flock, and how awful that is. I mean, how strongly do I think that anybody in any house of worship should feel like they're free to worship, and it should be a sanctuary, not a place of violence. Like, leave that outside the doors. Maybe that's a naive point of view. especially with what we've seen lately, but it should be. It shouldn't be that people worshiping should be looking around and ready to fight if they have to, because somebody comes in and tries to attack, and attack they did, and they had the, it was just two of them, but they had the element of surprise, and they had the tools that they needed, and that's a lot of people to die in this skirmish, including the police officer, and then the two themselves just, you know, they think supplied with somebody else, having the time to go in, case it, know exactly what they had to do, almost as if they had had a roadmap. And of course they did, because somebody had been in the synagogue. They knew the synagogue was pretty well known, and they knew the time of the prayers. Timing is everything, even in politics. The Senate blocked Tuesday what Mary Landrieu, I think, felt was her great hope, the authorization of the Keystone XL pipeline. She was one vote shy. Just a speed bump, most likely, for the project, but maybe not, because the White House spokesperson, Josh Ernst, has said, well, the president has said he won't sign any such bill. But it never went through the Senate because it was a vote short. Landrieu was trying to prove to her people that she was energy friendly and wanted this to happen because it would create 40,000 jobs. And she's really devoted a big chunk of her campaign to this. There is a December runoff election. Will she win that? Who knows? But I think this is a little bit of a blow for sure, because she was pushing it, especially the jobs part, and then it didn't happen. It was more about politics than anything else. While the House did pass one, as we know, Friday, and who was the lead guy on that? Bill Cassidy, her opponent in the runoff election. So they had, the House Republicans had him sponsor their Keystone authorization bill, which was approved overwhelmingly, not a surprise, 252 to 161. So now Cassidy is kind of rubbing her nose in this whole thing, saying the vote was a perfect snapshot of her time as the chair of the Energy Commission, and this is exactly what you get. The pipeline process itself has plenty of critics and others who would argue the opposite, that there are jobs that would be had no matter how temporary they are. There would be something, there would be some relief. And after the vote, five anti-Keystone protesters in the Senate gallery interrupted with chants and cheers. They were removed by the cops, of course, and the Senate moved on without a speech that had been expected from Landrieu, because for goodness sake, how could she give the speech when she didn't have the votes, when she didn't have the Democrats or the friends behind her? Virginia Democratic Senator Jay Rockefeller was a no vote. Maine's Senator August King, an independent, who caucuses with the Democrats, said that he wouldn't support it, so all that ended up to one vote shy. Hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, if you want to throw in your two cents, you can. Where are you taking your temperature on the Keystone Pipeline? 855-266-5283. We'll do it next, plus the mailbag on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite hosts and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
Across this great nation, we all may be freezing cold, but at least we're seeing a changing of the weather, so to speak. A changing of the guard in Mother Nature's style. Some of you complained to me, and we're going to go to the mailbag and check that out without further ado. Let's dive in.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Matt, listening to us in Florida. Hey, Kate, why don't you come and broadcast in Sarasota? We love you here, and I have to say, yeah, it's a little bit chilly, but it's not that chilly, and we know the weather is always going to bounce back for all of us here. We have beautiful beaches, fun people. We can't wait for you to come and do a live radio show. That would be so, so fun. I have one other thing to add. You know, I got to tell you, I am so tired of the immigration issue. Somebody called from Tallahassee, talked about the people picking the fruit, and I have to tell you, he was dead on right. I really don't believe most people want that job. It wouldn't be interesting to say, sign up, get enough sign-ups, people that are dedicated to doing those jobs, and then saying, okay, well, then we'll part company with the people we're giving green cards to. Which what we should do is just have the total temporary worker pass, come in, do the job, go home. Come in, do the job, go home. Wouldn't that be the best solution after all? Because I have to tell you here, if we didn't have any people coming from Mexico to work in our orange groves, I think the oranges would just dry up, to be honest. Anyway, we love you. Hope to see you soon in Sarasota. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. A couple of different things there. The weather, taunting us about the weather, and the again with the fields, and would the question that always gets thrown out, well, no Americans are going to do those jobs, so if we didn't have the people who came to do it, what would we do? Who would be doing this for us that would supply our chain of orange juice and strawberries and you name it, you know, lettuce, any of that kind of stuff? We wouldn't have it. We'd have fields that were dried up. Now, if you've asked the farmers that, they're going to tell you that part of the deals, and we all know this, is the wage situation, and this is how it's been. I mean, this was, you know, we had the lawyer for Cesar Chavez on a couple of weeks ago, and you heard her point of view and what happened with the what happened in the vineyards, and that the fact that they wanted more money, and you know the story of that, and then how it all worked out, but what it was like leading up to it and his hunger strike and everything that happened there. And the idea that we had something on the books, another element of it, which we've talked to several people. We had Roger Fleming on the other day to talk about what happened during the Reagan years, and it wasn't enforced. So ICE then, as a show of during the second Bush administration, we're cracking down, we're enforcing, you would see these pictures. There'd be some factory, there'd be some meat processing plant or whatever it was, and then that would be all you would hear. And you didn't hear about a lot of going in and getting people. I'll tell you one thing. How many people have applied for a job where you have to verify where you're from and you have to jump through hoops? Everywhere I've seen, I see that happening to people right and left. So it, certainly, if there's this whole verification thing, then knowingly, we already get what's going on here. So that was part of it, was the economics of it that was allowed to continue to flow. So naturally, this is what happened. All right, I went off on a rabbit trail. Let's get back on it. This one from Charles, who says, Kate, I don't know that it's good that there's all this buildup to what's going to ultimately happen in Ferguson. I doubt that that white police officer is going to be indicted. Do you think he should really be indicted? And if he is indicted, then there won't be any of these protests, because the protest is over the fact that he should be indicted, is what some of these groups think. I think it's so unfair. However, I do think there is a problem in Ferguson. I do think they have race relations problems that are right there on the surface, and it runs pretty deep. You can see that there are a couple of different divisions there. What's very sad is that these people live in the same town and they're going after each other. Can you imagine? Would you be upset with your neighbors if they destroyed your lawn, if they looted the stores that you went to, if they scared your children when they threw Molotov cocktails down the street? I just don't understand that aspect of it whatsoever. Yeah, here, you know, there's no way that, well, I shouldn't say there's no way. My opinion is the white cop's not going to get indicted. He's not getting indicted for this. He filed a police report. Boom. He's being aggressive, went after me. I don't think I have not seen every shred of evidence, but I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think he's going to be indicted. So get ready for Ferguson to be rocked. And there is a lot of buildup to this. Is the buildup making it worse by, here's what the governor says, here's what they're doing, here's all the training they've had? And in the end, like everything in life, right, the whole trite saying of a few bad apples spoil the whole bunch. Well, that's it. So if somebody wants to peacefully protest, I don't care if there was 40,000 people who were walking through the streets protesting, because then if I want to protest something or you want to protest something, we want the freedom to be able to do that, right? So therein lies the problem, though. The people who jump in, who loot, who start problems, who create the havoc that the, you know, the chaos that will ensue, and they know it's going to ensue. They know it. Here's one from Hunter, who says, Kate Ferguson, to me, is done. I believe the governor realizes he had to declare a state of emergency ahead of whatever happens here with the grand jury, knowing full well, most likely, the scales of justice tip in the favor of the cop. If you've read any police reports, if you've seen what happens when police encounter these situations, it'd be pretty tough to nail him for this. And they'd have a hard time proving it in court. And the whole thing is about evidence. And if there's enough evidence, I think ultimately they're going to find that there is not enough evidence. All right, this one from Brenda, who says, oh, my heart is squeezed with what's gone on with these rabbis. Very sad for their families, very sad for all involved. And what kind of retribution do you get with that? You're not going to get any retribution that makes any sense, because once you go down that lane, it's very, very lonely, Kate. As you know, it's not going to make them feel any better. But how savage to go into a synagogue and do the things that those two cold-hearted Palestinians decided to do. Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with that. Here's one from Minko, who says, Kate, been listening to the show for a while now, wondering, I've heard you mention about growing up in Philadelphia or in New York, or maybe it was a combination of both. Have you ever been to the Macy's parade? I'm actually going and can't wait. It's the first time I've ever been to it. I know there'll be a lot of people, but how cool that I can say I went to the Macy's parade. Yeah, yes, I have been to the Macy's parade many times. It's been a while. Last parade I went to in New York was the St. Patrick's Day parade. I want to say that was 2010. So it's been a while for me to be at any sort of parades, but the big balloons, the whole Thanksgiving thing, the bands, I think it's pretty cool. Just make sure you bundle up and bring something warm with you, like a blanket. People don't do that, because if you find a space and you sit down somewhere, then you'll be really, really chilly. But there's some good places along the parade route that would be fun to explore, actually hanging out there. Coming up in our next segment here in America Tonight, very excited about our next guest, Walter Biondi. You might recognize the name. He was homeless at one point in his life. He went from that to heading up the U.S. Marshals. The guy's phenomenal. He's coming up next to talk to us about what happens in these homeless situations. Hang with us.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules. Now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body. Normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just the ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126-serving, 3-square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guys Fall Chili Special. Always free shipping to the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the Fall Chili Special and 3-square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available for long-term storage, period.
About our next guest here on America Tonight, Walter Biondi joins us, and what a story he has. If you don't know the story, I think you know the name, Walter Biondi, but if you don't know his background, it's interesting because Time Mag just came out with, actually Time.com, I read it the other day, came out with a new report that talked about how high the record numbers are of kids who were homeless in 2013. 1 in 30, which is incredible. And these statistics come from the National Center on Family Homelessness, which is, staggering the number. It's like almost 2.5 million children. And it just, I'll tell you, it just breaks my heart. And Walter knows all about that. And he was somebody who was a homeless teenager who just rose to the highest heights, including director of U.S. Marshals Services. Walter, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Kate. It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
What would you take us back to that experience, what it was like for you when you were one of those statistics and how you climbed your way out of that?
Well, I was a runaway, and I made some bad decisions in my life, and I paid some serious consequences as a result. I can't blame it on anybody. I blame myself. But I was 15 years old, and I ran away from home, and I was a wretched street kid. I had no one, and I had nothing. But at first, there was a feeling of euphoric, unsupervised freedom, a 15-year-old able to do what he wants. But reality quickly set in. And in a period of time, it didn't take very long, I began to starve. It was cold, hypothermic. I ended up stealing bread just to exist, kind of like Jean Valjean did in Les Miserables. Mm. I ended up stealing empty soda bottles so I could sell them for 2 cents a piece, just so I could buy something to eat. I can remember sleeping in the back of empty cars. I looked for garages that were empty in the wintertime so I could just sleep in a garage. Leaned up against a glass door at the town library so I could absorb the heat emanating through the glass so I could try to keep from shivering throughout the entire night. And over a period of time, I became hopeless. I just felt as though my life was going down the tube. I was scraping rock bottom. I didn't feel as though there was much left for me. And all that euphoric fun I thought I was going to have quickly turned into the reality of just trying to survive. And it was a difficult process. I went through a nightmare.
Well, no kidding, that description. And so after that, you know, the starvation you're describing, terrible, the hypothermia, the things that you encountered on the street. I mean, didn't you just want to give up? Did you feel, wow, all hope is lost? And like you said, that euphoria is gone. And now I am at the rock bottom and I'm just a kid. How did you know when it was time to do something, when enough is enough as far as that's concerned?
You're exactly right. I did go through that process where I wondered whether or not I was going to be facing a life of going in and out of jails, whether or not my health would deteriorate to the point where I would meet with an early demise. And there came a point in time when I was sitting in a jail, and as a runaway, you try not to let people know that you're a juvenile. And so I tried very hard to not get detected, but I was found eventually and charged with something which I didn't do. And I remember sitting in that jail cell, looking out through the bars, saying to myself, is this the way it's going to end? And I had a piece of paper that I had been given by an uncle many years previously, which said on it some words which at first blush may not mean much to people, but I researched it, even at the young age I was at, and those words were, you are what you think most about. And so I went to the town library where I had gone many times to wash up, to get drinking water, to use the toilet facilities, and where there was a friendly librarian who would wink at me as I went in and out of that library from day to day. And I asked her, where can I find something with these words in it? And she knew right away who it was. It was a motivational speaker named Earl Nightingale, and she put me on a phonograph record with headphones set on my head, and she said, listen to this. And after about 15 minutes, I had a spark, if you will, a feeling of, I think I understand what these words mean, and ultimately those words changed my life. It's called The Strangest Secret, if anybody wants to look it up on YouTube. It's a wonderful story, but it was a story which truly made me feel as though I had fire in the belly and I could do something with my life, and I began to plan for things that I needed to do. Not having gone past the ninth grade in the public school system, I went on to get a bachelor's degree in college, graduating with honors, passed the law school exams, was admitted to a law school, and then went on in my career to do very well.
Wow. And, you know, you heard me mention the statistics at the top, and we know that people are in these dire straits. What can they do, or what can we do, actually, to help perhaps a homeless teenager? Because, Walter, you know, now it's so sad. Some are getting kidnapped. They're sold into slavery. We have some terrible things happening to homeless teens. What can people listening to us right now do to help?
Well, you're right. Terrible things happen to me and others that I know of as well. I have tried to help people out throughout the years, and I still do to this day without mentioning names or situations. And when you encounter such a person, especially a juvenile, what they're trying to do is to avoid being detected. So it's going to be hard to try to sit them down and talk to them unless they've been apprehended. But if you know of anybody who's on the street who looks destitute, realizing what kind of fate awaits them if they aren't saved in some way, the only thing that I have been able to succeed at doing was to find that person who was at that weakest moment, just like dealing with an alcoholic who finally hits rock bottom, is to say to them that there is another way and to try to talk to them. There are services available through governments to try to deal with the situation. But the reality is that sometimes government can approach these situations a little too coldly, and to try to talk to a youngster and to help them to realize that there is more to life than what they are doing and how they're living, and that they can indeed have a bright future. I like to tell people that inspiring somebody is one thing, but to help them aspire to something is totally different. And I would say that to that youngster, you can be that moth that's drawn by the light of the nearest light bulb, like all moths, or you can be that moth that's drawn by the light of the most distant star and reach further and go further and do better. And so I would try to help motivate them, inspire them, and through that process, help them find something to aspire to do with their life, even if it's just baby steps.
So you knew when once you heard the calling and once you heard the strangest secret, you got that fire in the belly that you were talking about, your life turns around. Did you ever imagine, though, that you would have climbed to the heights that you did, for goodness sake, the director of the U.S. Marshals Service? I mentioned that, chief inspector for Interpol.
Never. No, I never did. I had a desire to serve the public, to help people. I entered into law enforcement. I'm surprised they took me, quite frankly, but given my past. But there were reasons why they did. And ultimately, I just worked hard. I always have worked 60 hours a week or more. I always tried harder. And gradually, I began to climb that ladder out of that deep hole that I had dug for myself, and to just climb up into new jobs and higher positions, and ended up being one of the directors of the U.S. Marshals Service, one of the commissioners of the U.S. Customs Service, chief inspector at Interpol, and ultimately getting the highest award president can give a civil servant, which was the Senior Executive Distinguished Award of the Year. And so I never thought that those things were in my future, but I was always working towards improving myself and trying to do a better job and to accomplish things that I had never previously thought possible. I like to tell people that when I run into obstacles during my life, I didn't sit back and say, woe is me. Instead, I said, I'm either going over it, around it, or through it. And as the years went by, I tried very hard to find ways to accomplish those goals that I set for myself, knowing that there were going to be failures along the way, and I was going to need some help from people along the way, and they were there for me as those years went by.
Love that story. And you've got a book out, the new book, The Promiscuous Puppeteer. Love that title. You're going to have to explain.
Well, The Promiscuous Puppeteer title is about a woman, a very unique woman, a one-of-a-kind woman. The book itself is not a cookie-cutter type book. It is different from anything else that most people have ever read. But the title derives from this woman having had a promiscuous past, but she bettered her life and began to form a charity, and using her skills from being on the street as she was, and as I had been at one time, she found a way to compromise people who needed to be compromised and to manipulate them and certain events and situations in a way where she could control them and control the outcomes and benefit her charity and benefit people who needed some assistance in the calling that she decided to follow. So she became a puppeteer in that sense, that she controlled people and events. So the title of Promiscuous Puppeteer relates to the woman, and in that story she helped a corporation that was up against terrible odds in trying to establish itself in a precious metals exploration endeavor in the western third of the United States.
I love it. Pick it up at Amazon.com, of course, wherever books are sold. I guess we're down to B&N now, but there's other places, too. So, Walter Biondi, what a pleasure to meet you. Hope to talk to you again in the future.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me. It was a joy to be with you.
Thank you.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
For all our loyal listeners, it's time for another giveaway. Over the next 30 days, our friends at SupernaturalSilver.com are giving away 6 16-ounce Supernatural Silver Liquid, valued at nearly $100 per bottle, or their skin and body gel, priced at $49.98. All you have to do is enter and win at GCNLive.com. Hurry, contest ends December 5th. GCN can give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with the Supernatural Silver Giveaway at GCNLive.com.
Risk of a widespread Ebola outbreak in the United States remains exceedingly low, but that risk is, to the American people, is not eliminated until this disease has been stopped in its tracks in West Africa.
Josh Ernst talking about Ebola and where we're headed with that, the possibility of any kind of an Ebola outbreak, or more importantly, a case or two, not so much an outbreak as what they're thinking. And that's the official word, from the White House. We just lost somebody who came a little bit too late to the United States, who died of Ebola. And unfortunately, in Nebraska, they had such great success, but he was so far, I think, gone and in critical condition by the time he arrived. There wasn't much that could be done to help him. Now we've got the military on the ground, as all of you know, as we clean up the end of this hour and leave you with some odds and ends. So Ebola is still on the minds of many at the CDC, and precautions being taken, and what's happened since August and what's happened since Tom Duncan in Dallas. We've really gone through a couple of different peaks and definite valleys with Ebola, and stamping it out in West Africa is in our best interest rather than risk the travel between and having people come back and disappear where they potentially affect other people, as all of you know, and talking about what this unfortunate virus, this outbreak has done to so many of the people there. It's unbelievable when you see the stories. Snow. The snowstorm that hit Buffalo was unreal. So deep, the amount. Four people died. Three were shoveling snow. How about that? You know, they say the heart attacks can be the biggest thing. And since so many people were slammed with some unexpected snow, that's what happened. Buffalo, New York, always hard hit, was one of the hardest hit, buried under 6 feet of snow, they say, and counting. In fact, one of the county officials from Erie County said they couldn't remember, and they didn't think anyone else could remember, this much snow falling in such a short amount of time. Over half of our country has more than 50% with snow on the ground on Tuesday. So snow temperatures, snowstorms and low temperatures colliding. And the blast of cold air will hammer the Midwest and Northeast on Wednesday. The Southeast could see record lows too, temperatures in their teens and 20s. One of the other storm-related deaths, unfortunately, was a car accident. And somebody was helping somebody getting out of the car, so they were advising people not to do that. If somebody's stuck, not to be in a situation where a car could slide back and hit you, or something could happen. And I'll tell you, if this is already how we're starting off, I don't know that that bodes well for what could happen a little bit later in the winter, because this is just the very beginning of this. Tuesday, by the way, was the coldest November since 1976. 1976, they're saying. The average overnight low for the lower 48 states was 19.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow. Very unusual. And to see it this time, that's the reason there's so much conversation about that. Even had cops that were showing up on snowmobiles in some of those areas in Buffalo where the snow was just so thick, and trying to see it when it was coming down. That's where it gets tough, when you can't even see in the car and you're driving or whatever, and that's where they tend to have a lot of those accidents. So as it was described to me from my friend in Buffalo, it was like a knife that just cut through us, how incredibly cold, how quickly it went down, and how much snow suddenly we got. The Keystone Pipeline got booted into next year for sure. The vote in the Senate, a no-go, because they're one vote shy of even doing the procedural thing. That didn't even happen. Once the numbers switch with the Republicans, you know, the Keystone Pipeline will probably be one of the first things they tackle. But the president clearly is not supporting the Keystone Pipeline now. Wants it really to fall in the lap of the State Department, probably. So that means veto to me anyway. But this was really a case of Louisiana politics. We have Mary Landrieu, who wanted her seat back, ran for it, and it was too tight to call it. So now there's this runoff election in December. And part of that whole campaign for reelection was that she could get the results, she could deliver. For days, she had insisted she had the 60 supporters necessary to cross that procedural threshold that you do in the Senate. But then she's, boom, one vote out of it. So now you're listening back home. You keep hearing all the rhetoric, and you see that nothing happens. Then it's going to be tough for her to snap up those needed votes so that she doesn't get knocked off by the challenger, but who knows? Get enough people out there to vote. See, here's the thing. She's the current Senate Energy and Natural Resource Chairwoman. So the pipeline was her chance to demonstrate the clout that she could yield in a state that's so dependent on energy, where it's an incredibly sensitive issue, too. and she's getting clubbed by it. Plus, Obamacare was another thing that hurt her, but she really distanced herself from the president and didn't agree with some of the things connected to Obamacare. And that wasn't really, I think that wouldn't be really what hurt her as much as the energy policies would the most. And people in Louisiana really waiting for those jobs, hearing about those jobs and thinking they could get some of those jobs and building the pipeline and everything else. So, you know, the bill itself that Landrieu had a lot of Democratic momentum behind it, had sponsors, had Democratic co-sponsors from, you know, John Tester in Montana, to Claire McCaskill in Missouri, to North Carolina's Senator Kay Hagan, temporarily anyway, Joe Manchin from West Virginia. So she did get some Democratic support. She just did not get that extra one that she needed. There were three more Democrats in all, the Democrats who had pledged to support the measure, but you know, she's still one vote short. And Jay Rockefeller could have been that vote, but he wasn't. The senator wasn't a vote to help her. And then Maine's Senator Angus King, who's independent but always pretty much caucuses with the Democrats, he was a no. So that all adds up to big problems in trying to get the numbers that she needed, that she thought she had so close, but yet so far away. After the vote, five protesters that were in the gallery, by the way, because they were quiet at first. They were noisy at first, then they were told to be quiet. They did. And then they erupted. Cheers and chants and everything else. The cops removed them, and they just moved on in the Senate. It was that instantaneous moment, because what is there to say? There was no speech afterwards. So now it was just back to, okay, so we'll move on from that. But it kicked open the door to, the Republicans are going to have to try to pass it. The problem will be they will find the power of the pen smashes them right in the face, because this is an easy veto for the president if you've listened to what he said and the environmental threats. I don't think that he's going to challenge that. He'll use the power of the pen. I mean, how many things is he going to do that with? I don't know, but I have a feeling there's going to be gridlock times 10 in Washington when the new group of Republicans, rather, come in and they have the majority and the president finishes out his 2 years. Where will the approval ratings be by the time he's out of office? Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
At web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154. 1-5-4.